When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today in this episode, I'm going to be talking to a teenager, and she's going to be talking about her anxiety, her experiences, and I thought it'd be really good for us to talk through what it's like to have anxiety as a younger generation, as a teenager, or maybe even as kids. And because we know that anxiety manifests itself, it really doesn't matter what age you are. And then a lot of times the anxiety starts when you're younger. And so I think I'm really, really excited to hear more from Quincy. We're going to be talking about that coming up right after this. All right. Welcome to the Mental Health Today Show. My name is John Cordray, and I am so, so happy that you're here. I'm excited to talk about the anxiety among the younger generation with Quincy Caden. Quincy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad that you're here. And when you first reached out to me, you were telling me about a story just that involves your anxiety. It involves being in a different country. It involves about not being able to catch your flight back home. What was that like? Tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, so this past summer, I was visiting Johannesburg, which is in South Africa, with my family. And it was an anxious experience. I mean, I was really far away from my home. And I mean, just anyone, I feel like, would have anxiety about just being that far. But for me, it was like pretty elevated. And on my flight back, when I was walking to the plane, I started to have a panic attack. And that wasn't unusual for me. I mean, growing up with anxiety, it's something that happened a lot. But there was still some unfamiliarity with the whole situation. And so as I was getting on the plane, I was at the peak of my panic attack. You know, I was shaking, I was crying, I was throwing up. And, you know, once I got on the plane, 10 minutes later, I felt fine because that's how my panic attacks were. But the flight attendants really didn't understand what was going on, and neither did the pilot. And they thought that I was sick. And so they off-boarded me. My mom and I were kind of stuck in this unfamiliar city. We didn't really know what to do. We didn't know if I was going to get home, just because there was so much uncertainty about if I was going to be able to get back on a plane. So I think that really spoke to me in the sense that I understood that so many people didn't understand anxiety and how that manifests. And so that really made me want to do something about it and try to find ways to make people understand.
No, I like that. Yes. I can only imagine. So here you are in I'm not going to say strange country, but definitely in a different culture.
Yeah, for sure.
And so here you have this anxiety, this panic attack, and most people understand what that is like to have a panic attack. And a lot of people who are listening to the show is going to recognize, yes, I've had them. I know what that is. But here you are not in your element, your environment. This is a strange area for you and for your mom, and you're on this plane trying to get home. And And so the airline, the pilot, the stewardess, they did not recognize. They had no idea that you were having a panic attack. If they did, they would realize that eventually your panic attack would subside and you'll be okay. You just need to get through it in the moment. But they mistaked it for, you're sick, there's something wrong with you, you can't fly on this plane. And so they essentially escorted you off the plane. And I'm sure that made your anxiety even more elevated. What was that like for you?
I mean, the most frustrating part of it is I was trying to explain that, you know, I've had anxiety my whole life. I know, like, that this is going to pass. It has passed, actually, and I'm going to be okay to fly. And I tried to explain, you know, what anxiety was. My mom tried to explain how my anxiety manifests, but even after all of that, they still didn't really understand. And so, you know, getting, like, off-boarded, it was kind of just a moment of shock, but also I was just terrified. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I, like, they're not allowing me to fly. Is any other airline going to allow me to fly?
Yeah, there's that uncertainty to the unknown. Are we stuck here? Am I going to get back home? And I can imagine that having a panic attack and having elevated anxiety in your own home, it's bad enough. It's hard enough. But then you're in a different country and you're not familiar with the area. And so, and you have all these things that may or may not happen. We don't know what's going to happen. And so it's all back, traces back to the airline didn't know how to recognize the anxiety. They didn't know how, they didn't understand it. They didn't know how to treat it to help you. You did. You recognized that your panic attack was gone. It was for now, and you had been fine on the flight, but they didn't feel that way. Okay, wow. That must have been really scary. And you had mentioned a little bit ago that that experience really had an impact on you. So much so that you're thinking, wow, what can I do to help spread the awareness of anxiety? And just to be clear, you're a teenager, right? You're a teenager.
Yeah.
So you're a teenager. And so you're among the younger generation. And here you are, you've got all the things that are going on in your teen life and school and all everything else. Here you are coming on a podcast talking about anxiety, and you have a mission to help others who struggle with anxiety. And I know there are a lot of my listeners that are parents, and they may have children that are struggling with anxiety. I have audiences that are teenagers, that are kids that listen, and sometimes they're listening with their parents on their way to school, and they have anxiety. And so here you are wanting to kind of help other people in your own pain, if you will, your struggle. You know what it's like to experience anxiety. You know the frustrations of when other people don't understand it. And you may have even had, maybe you have some instances at the school that maybe there's somebody, a teacher or somebody at school doesn't understand it. And so tell me a little bit more about kind of your mission. I call it a mission. I don't know if you call it a mission, but your mission to help other people with understanding more about anxiety.
Yeah. So I'd say my mission is to, first off, spread awareness about anxiety, you know, just have people realize how common it is. Maybe not in exact anxiety disorder, but people do have these feelings and learning how to deal with them is important. But also just have people know that it's important to know what anxiety is itself, and how to deal with it is just so valuable because you can help so many people.
Yeah. And so I'm envisioning a parent who has a child or a teenager, and maybe they get up in the morning and they don't want to go to school. They are putting up a fight, or they are panicking. They're not getting ready for school. They throw the covers over their head and they don't want to go to school. And the parent might be tempted to get really frustrated and really angry, thinking that their child is being just being an ordinary student and wanting to not go to school because nobody wants to go to school. However, what a lot of parents may not realize, it could be anxiety. And so, Quincy, tell me a little bit about, how would you describe anxiety from the perspective of a young person?
I mean, it's so funny. Like, I've been in that exact situation. And I think the struggle, I mean, just with that and with so many other kind of anxious situations, is you don't really want to explain it. You don't really want to say, oh, I'm feeling anxious and this is why I'm doing it. It's so much easier to just say, no, I don't want to go to school. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks to how important it is to be able to have these conversations, to be able to open up space for them. Because I think that if I had talked to my mom about why I wanted to stay in bed and why I didn't want to go to school, it would have helped me get through so much of that. Mm-hmm. And once I was able to tell her, I'm really nervous about this test and I do not want to go to school, and I think I'm going to have a panic attack if I do go, we could have worked on that and we could have found a solution to be able to, you know, maybe not take the test that day, but still be able to go to school and still make progress and go forward and not go backwards.
I like that. And so what I'm hearing you say is learning to advocate for yourself and try to put words to your feelings. And I don't know, you mentioned you weren't forthcoming with saying that you have anxiety. But at the time, so if you think back and when you were didn't want to go to school and maybe your parents didn't know it was anxiety, did you know it was anxiety, or was it just a feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't go. I just don't want to face it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like my anxiety has been, I mean, as long as I can remember, like my parents have told me stories back in preschool of me kind of having these anxious moments. So I'd say for a while, I didn't know what it was. I just thought, you know, maybe I was a little different than other kids, that I was really afraid to go on play dates or, you know, other things like that. But I'd say around like fourth, fifth grade, that was when I was like, oh, this might actually not be just normal. This might be something that is wrong with my brain. Like, it's not my fault, but it's just something that's difficult with the wiring of it. So I then went to therapy in fifth grade, and that really brought light to, okay, I have this, and this is how I'm going to deal with it. And I think putting those words to what I was feeling was so important for me, because I didn't feel that different after that. And I felt like, oh, there's an issue and I'm going to learn the steps to help fix it.
Well, I like that. And you know, it sounds like your parents pretty quickly got you help. There was a period of time where you were struggling. You went in and started to go to therapy, and that's when you started to learn the language. You learned different tools. You learned that this is not that uncommon. And probably, I'm sure there was a point in your life before all of that, and you had this anxiety that maybe you were feeling like, I'm the only one. Nobody understands what I'm going through, and there's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is, but I just can't go to school. I don't want to. And so it's this mental gymnastics, if you will, of just thinking through, I don't know what's wrong with me, but there's something wrong with me, and I don't know how to articulate that. Did you feel that way? Did you go through that?
Yeah, and I'd say that feeling still lingers. Mm. I mean, back then, it was playdates, but now I'll be nervous to go on a class trip. And it looks like no one else is feeling that way. And so it still stays. Now I know more that it's anxiety, but there still is kind of a loneliness to it, which you kind of have to then step back and realize so many people feel this way. It's not just me. It might just be me in this situation. But I mean, if you think in the broader broader scheme of things that a lot of people are feeling this way.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that I almost lost my phone there. It was falling. But I know that anxiety is so prevalent. And I mentioned earlier, it doesn't matter how old or young you are, it's going to affect you. And when you think of a classroom, maybe it's 15, 20 or more kids in a classroom. And so statistically speaking, there are quite a few of those kids are going to have anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a matter necessarily that you're the only one, but you may not realize it because no one else is going to say, because they don't want to admit it. They don't, because there's the stigma, even among young people, that I can't say that I have anxiety because I might get made fun of, or someone might say something, or they might reject me. And so you keep it to yourself, but here you are, it's a silent battle. And you're afraid, and you're in, let's say you're in your, at your desk at school. And so often the anxiety turns into, it affects your stomach. And so you get nauseous. And so there's nauseous feeling comes with the anxiety. And now it's a double whammy. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to throw up. I can't throw up. And people are going to laugh at me. And so you had mentioned that it still lingers, that thought of, maybe I am the only one, and maybe there's something that no one else struggles with. But I bet, Quincy, that in your class, there are lots of different students that struggle with the anxiety. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that stigma. Do you feel like there is a stigma with the younger generation?
I think that it's getting better. Just having talked to my parents about kind of how it was in their generation, especially with my dad, it was, you can't feel that way. Like, you're a man, like, you just have to keep moving. And you know what? He still has anxiety. He's still kind of, you know, same as me. But I think just in my generation, there's so much more room for conversation about it. And I don't know if it's just the people I surround myself with. Maybe that's just how I'm more comfortable, just with people who are more open about it. But I feel pretty comfortable being able to talk about it now.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Where I wasn't back in, you know, elementary school, middle school. And I think now talking about it, I'm able to realize how many people are, you know, afflicted with that.
Yeah.
And that really helped, just being able to have that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's good. And you brought up the different generations. I instantly, when you were talking about your dad's generation, that's probably my generation. And, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, I remember back when I was a teenager, we don't talk about that. We didn't talk about mental health in general. And we weren't, just because we didn't know at the time as a teenager, didn't know it was called a stigma, but it was just that general feeling of nobody can find out. It's a secret. I can't let someone know, because they'll think differently of me. And I think that's what happens so often, even with adults, that stigma that we believe is there. And it's still, I would say it's still there, because I'm a therapist and I meet with lots of people about anxiety. But I think the stigma is there, but I do think it's getting better. And I have noticed, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Quincy, it seems like the younger generation are a little bit more willing to talk about it and not feel like there's something wrong. But they're more willing to talk about once they realize what it is.
Yeah. And I think that's also because there's so much more help accessible right now. And I think also this destigmatization of therapy is a big thing. You know, I live in Los Angeles. Almost all my friends go to therapy. It's just like a very common thing. And I think that, I mean, obviously it's such a privilege, but being able to do that is, I mean, therapy is a place where you learn almost all your language about mental health. And I think that's just a great resource because you're able to talk about it with more people because you know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only knowing what it is helps you to talk to other people, but it also helps you realize, maybe I'm not the only one. Mm-hmm. It almost normalizes it in a way. Yeah. It's almost like know thy enemy, right? The more you know about it, the more you learn about it, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel as big. It feels a little bit more manageable. And once you realize and understand that you might have quite a few friends that struggle with the anxiety. And as soon as one person says, yeah, I struggle with anxiety, then everyone else can say, oh yeah, I do too. I didn't know you did that. And wow, I thought I was the only one. So it kind of spreads that way. And it's being able to talk about it and not only learn about it, but to be able to advocate for yourself and also help others. And I'm sure you probably help friends too, who are struggling with anxiety.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you're also bringing up a great point, you know, being able to have these conversations with people and peers. I think it's great to bring these conversations to schools. At my school, there's a mental health club where it's kind of just a safe space to talk about your feelings and your emotions and kind of be with a group of people that feel the same way as you. And I think that just being able to bring these resources, you know, school counselors, support groups to schools is so like critical to the progress of, you know, the talking about mental illness in our generation.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. And the more we talk about it, the more we realize, one, we're not alone. And then two, the stigma is not as intense as we think it is, because it's the more you know, right? And I worked in a school for a number of years. This is pre-COVID, or actually kind of right during COVID. And the amount of kids that I talked with who had anxiety was incredible. And the more that I've seen students talking about their anxiety, the more students were able to say, me too, right? Mm-hmm. I struggle with that, and not feel ashamed. And that's the key, I think, is to not feel ashamed that you struggle with anxiety. Because you said this earlier really well, that it's not something that you did, it's something that you have. And there's nothing you can do about it, right?
Yeah.
So it's something that you struggle with, but it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you or that you're bad. And I think learning that is a key, especially among young people.
Oh, I mean, after that whole flight situation, I realized that I really wanted to do something to help. And, you know, I was thinking what would be the best way to kind of get my story out there, share some of the tools I've learned along the way. And so I thought that a book would be a great idea to kind of, you know, get my story out there. And then I was thinking, I don't think I could write an entire book. I'm not the best writer. And so I thought a children's book would be a great way to kind of get my story out there and also reach a younger generation that maybe doesn't have the language yet. I mean, 5-year-olds don't really know like the word anxiety or therapist or kind of tools that go with that. So I wrote my book, Frankie's Fishy Feelings, and which is about a shark named Frankie who realizes that it's the first day of Kinder Sharken, and, you know, has a lot of like anticipatory anxiety feelings. I mean, I feel like my book can work for every like age right now, but she realizes she has school and she's nervous. And when she goes to school the next day, she has a panic attack and she's pretty nervous and obviously panicking. And eventually she talks to her mom and her mom takes her to a therapist where she's able to learn you know, coping skills to help deal with it. And by the end, she's able to go to school. Obviously, this is a much, you know, compacted story of someone with anxiety, but it just, my goal for it is to teach kids so many coping strategies that can help them, but also, you know, create room for language around it. And I hope for parents that are reading it to their kids to, you know, be able to talk to them about it. I've heard stories just like after getting my book out there, of kids saying, you know what, I do feel this. I feel, you know, shaky. Sometimes I cry. Sometimes I'm nervous to go to school. And I didn't know that's what the feeling was. And so I think it's just great to hear that, and also speaks to how important it is, even for, you know, younger kids, to create that language and create space for that conversation.
I love that. And that's one of the things I think a lot of kids can learn from is a story and learning about the anxiety. And you're right. Putting words to it can be really, really helpful. And I love it. I love the fact that you are struggling, you're open about it, and you decided that you're going to do something about it. And so you wrote a book. And I'm going to put that on the show notes. So if anyone's listening to this, they can go and check that out. And so your mission then is to inform people, especially young people and maybe their parents, to help them realize that it's anxiety and here are some strategies that you can use to cope. What's next for you? Is there a next for you?
Yeah, I mean, just with the book itself, I'm working on donations to elementary schools all across California. But I'd say, I mean, I want to work on my broader goal of, you know, just sharing my story, because I think when you share a story, like, it helps other people share their stories, and it creates this ripple effect to the point where maybe everyone can share their stories and be open about it, you know?
Absolutely. No, I love that. I love the ripple effect. Okay, so that's exciting. So keep doing that. Keep working on that. I want to encourage you on that. And the more that you're open and sharing, the more people will learn and it'll help them. And that's exactly what we want. What would you say? I know we're coming towards the end of the episode here. So I want to ask you this. What would you say to a parent that maybe has a teenager or a younger child that seems to not want to go to school? They put up a fuss, they get frustrated. And the parent is at their wit's end. They don't know what to do. They get angry and frustrated at their child, and they don't know how to help. What would you say to that parent?
I mean, I think a big part of it is realizing that probably both of them are frustrated with the whole situation, but also just to take a step back, calm down, and then go back and just, you know, ask if there's something else going on. Maybe they're just tired. Maybe it's just, you know, being a teenager, but I feel like a lot of times there's more going on. And so just going back in and just saying, is there something else going on? And I'm here. Maybe you don't want to talk about it right now, but I'm here if you do need to talk. And just being able to create that space for a conversation between that, you know, the two parties. And just realizing that they are a safe space, and like a parent is a safe space to talk for that.
Yeah, I like that. And for the parent to realize that it's common to get angry, especially if you assume that your child is not wanting to go to school and trying to pretend and to get out of going to school. That's common and that's okay, but try to be understanding and be inquisitive. Ask questions where, you know, ask, well, why don't you want to go to school? Or what is it that you're worried about? And try to get to the real reason, because typically there is a reason. It's not just, I don't want to go to school. Typically, there's a reason for it. And so learning to explore that and be willing to ask the questions, I think it's great. That's a great plan. The other question, the follow-up with that, so you are helping the parents, but what about a teenager? What would you say to that teen who feels like they are alone? They go to school. They don't really want to go to school, but they go because they have to. It's hard for them. Maybe they do have panic attacks. And that anticipatory anxiety that you mentioned, the anxiety leading up to an event. What would you say to that teenager?
I mean, first off, just realize you're not alone. And so many people struggle with this. And I think a great realization for me was, you know, there are so many people out there that struggle with this. There's so many resources online. There's so many people you can talk to. And once you talk to someone, it takes away the power from the anxiety. But also realize that forward motion is key to kind of dealing with it. Like, you just got to keep pushing, because once you go backwards, the anxiety gets the power. And so, you know, talk to someone and just keep moving forward.
Yeah, I like that. And be open to talking to maybe your school counselor, if your school mm-hmm. has a counselor, or yeah. be open to talking to a therapist. I like that.
Sure.
Excellent. Very good. Well, I have one last question, and this is a question that I like to ask all of my guests. And so this is might be a little bit of a put you on the spot here. But it has to do with self-care. And do you know what I mean by self-care?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm a therapist, and this is something that I preach all the time, that it's important. Self-care is really, really important. And so I like to ask my guests, what are a couple of things that you do for your self-care? So what would you say are kind of your go-tos for self-care?
I mean, my go-to I learned from my mom, and that's, you know, cleaning my room, which sounds kind of unusual, but I think that having, you know, like a clean space, an organized space, I mean, you kind of build your life around it. And being able to, you know, maybe I have a panic attack and I want to go up to my room, being able to go to a clean, organized space really helps me just to be calm. But other than that, you know, call a friend on the phone really helps me, take a long shower and do my like skincare routine. All of those things kind of just to bring the power back to me is really helpful.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so I have to say, cleaning your room from coming from a teenager, you know, that's interesting. But you bring up a really good point that clutter, if you live in clutter, that does bring a little bit of just anxiety in that way. But it's almost like, well, your mind is full of chaos, and now you're living in chaos. Let's try to fix the one thing that you can do, and that's your environment.
Yeah, so control what you can.
Yeah, I like that. Excellent. Well, Quincy, is there anything else? Are there any parting words that you want to say? You don't have to, but if there's any parting words that you would like to say to my audience, that's great. If not, not a problem. We'll go ahead and end the episode.
Yeah, I think just key takeaway, you know, create conversation about anxiety and create a place where you can, you know, talk about it.
I like that. Create the environment and don't be afraid to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. I like that. Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you got to go back to school here soon. But I really appreciate that you come on, and not too many teenagers, I don't think, will go on a podcast and talk about their anxiety. So you're have a lot of courage, and I appreciate you and continue your work in helping other people. That's awesome. And I wish you the best of luck going forward.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. All right. Well, you take care, and thank you so much for listening to and or watching this. So you can watch this on YouTube at the Mental Health Today Show podcast. And I appreciate you. And until next time, take care of yourself. All right. Okay. We will stop it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.